I need to put up a good status tonight.
One of Chan-Wook Park's influences was Philip K. Dick. Although I think they took it off Wikipedia. I guess he's just not good enough.
What assholes.
God. No love for the dick. Ooh, that's a status for you.
No love for the dick.
That would sound a little desperate, it. I think.
It would.
That's a great pickup line. Listen, baby.
That's a great rebuttal for a rejection.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's not true at all.
So you want to go out later? I'm a little busy. Oh, so no yeah, love for
exactly.
Dick, huh?
Oh, is that your name? And then you have to explain
snap
it.
Snap fingers.
Yeah.
No love for
yeah,
Dick.
Yeah, exactly.
No love for Dick.
You don't know.
No love for
you
Dick.
Have no idea, man.
Is your name Dick? No. No, my name
it's
is
not
Dick.
Richard. It's Pete. Just call me Pete. He's still on TV, you know.
I shall be known as Pete.
Pete Bouchard. Yeah, he still does it. Per day. Still kicking it, real.
Damn, what a lucky.
Yeah, I didn't get kicked to the curb immediately. I'll put that in the beginning of the podcast.
Maybe they were just hoping, like, if a certain amount of people don't call in and say what the fuck, then...
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then we'll if not enough people call in, we'll just cry about how we don't get enough people watching anyways.
Oh, man. I think that was the channel where they had this, they were watching this bridge that was about to collapse, and it was... Yeah, that was yeah. funny.
They
yeah,
cut
at the very last
second,
and it goes. That was pretty good. Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Losers.
They were upset.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, they weren't doing anything. Like, how is anybody watching this channel right now? They were just like, yep, it'll go any minute now. Any minute now. Good one, guys.
In town now, our wind chill factor about 23, humidity 85%, a north wind at 13 miles an hour. Picking up some snow, are we? Yes, we are. In Princeton, we picked up 9 inches of snow. Bill Ricca had 7, the biggest amount that I could find, almost as big as me, about 9 inches. Bill Ricca, 7, and in Stoneham, we had 6. Peabody, 5.5, and Natick, about 2.5. Brookline picked up about 2.
Never take me alive, I'm getting high with my 4-5.
I couldn't help but note your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
They'll never take me alive, I'm getting high with my 4-5. Cocked on these suckers, time to die, even as a youngster. Causing ruckus on the back of the bus. I was a fool all through high school, kicking up dust. But now I'm labeled as a troublemaker. Who can you blame? Smoking weed helped me take away the pain. So I'm hopeless, rolling down the freeway, swerving. Don't worry, I'm about to crash upon the curb. Cause my business bloody, maybe if they tried to understand me. What should I do? I had to feed my fucking family. What else could I do? Or be a thug? I'm slanging with the homies, fuck hanging with them phonies in the club. Got my mind no danger, never been a stranger to homicide. My city's full of gangbangers and drive-bys. Why do we die at an early age? He was so young, but still a victim of the 12 gauge. My memories of a corpse, mind full of sick thoughts. And I ain't going back to court, so fuck what you thought. I'm drinking Hennessy, running from my enemies. Will I live to be 23 and so much pain?
Alright, we should clap then.
Oh, should we?
I'm not going to put it in the podcast this time, because I always do. Alright, ready?
How you doing?
Yeah?
I yawned.
That was not funny, but I laughed anyway.
You know what's weird is that Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance poster...
Yeah?
...gives away, like, a major point of that movie. Well, I guess,
Which poster?
The Sympathy for... I mean, I'm on the Wikipedia page.
Oh, okay, I'll do that.
For Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
Oh, he's drowning him, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's... Yeah. He's basically
he's got him under the water.
Not under, but he's got him tied up, holding him, and he's got a knife in his hand. So it's like, wow. Like, I wonder what happens between these two characters at some point in the movie.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the beginning. They were just fighting, and then they get back and fight again later.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, like, once they do get in the water when he does have the knife, you totally know it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it, like, ruins it, but I'm just saying, like...
No, you couldn't ruin a movie like Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. You have to experience it.
Yeah, I agree. But still, that's not really the point.
If you saw the poster and then you saw the lake scene and he had him in his hands, you'd have been like, oh, okay. It's like you already knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you look at...
So they should get rid of that.
The old boy and the Lady Vengeance, they don't give away anything. They're just cool-looking posters.
Yeah. Yeah, the old boy poster is cool, but the DVD cover I have is just him with a hammer, just looking at the camera. It's so stupid-looking.
Yeah, I know.
The Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance one looks sweet, though. Yep. Alright, so this story, I should begin by explaining that the podcast is going on indefinite hiatus, because I don't know if you were recording when I was saying that, but this will be the last podcast for a while, and of course we're talking about the Vengeance trilogy.
Wait, we didn't clap.
We're just gonna, alright. So anyway, we're talking about the Vengeance trilogy, one of the better film trilogies of all time, even though it's not really connected by story or character, just by theme and style and director.
Right.
And that director, of course, being Chan-Wook Park.
Aren't you going to...
Extraordinaire.
Aren't you going to explain how this is the last, the last podcast?
Oh, yeah. God, I'm jumbled. This is the last... Direct Fiction podcast, at least in the foreseeable future. I'm going to ease back a while co-host Andy does something mysterious and in the darkness. Meanwhile, I'm just going to be doing blog posts and hopefully building up an audience through there. You know, I want to make sure that we have an audience before we do the whole podcast and thing, and since I wasn't really in my mind when we started the show...
He was out of
zero
it.
Zero audience.
Right.
For 10 episodes, and that's kind of getting old, so...
Really? Zero? Zero? Totally? Well,
I think my dad subscribed to iTunes.
Nice.
Because I went on the iTunes store, and it said, the subscribers have also subscribed to the Ricky Gervais Show, and at first I thought it was you.
Right.
But then I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I guess it's just my dad. He's talked about the show before.
I love the Ricky Gervais Show.
Yeah. I know, exactly. That's why, yeah.
That must have been so... What a letdown. You're like, you have one subscriber. Oh, thank God, you know?
Yeah.
I'm safe. Yeah. Oh, it's my dad. It's a family member. That sucks. My co-host.
No, yeah. Well, you've never listened to a single episode except for Joey's, which you did on the episode.
Oh, very, very interesting. I'm like Johnny Depp, never watching his own movies. I never listen to my own podcasts.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. It's like, come on, Johnny Depp, you're missing out.
Yes.
Ed Wood was pretty good.
I'm not missing out on Pirates anything, of the Caribbean. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm. Let me check. I'm gonna try and, if I did get, like, subscribers to iTunes, I know we get, like, one-star ratings, because, you know.
They suck.
We're only 17 years old. We're not very good at what we do. No. So, and if we started off in that way... It wouldn't be very good. So I feel like I'm a much better writer than I am a talker.
Well, that's,
That's to damn myself with the faintest of praise, I understand. Oh, wow. I opened up, anyway.
Well, because with writing, you can edit it to make yourself seem smarter than you are. And then no one has to listen to your annoying voice. And
well, I don't do that.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I just resent the message. I'm sorry. I'm trying to, trying to do something for school, because, you know, that's a big deal.
School sucks. These days. Don't ever go. It's a waste of time, money, and effort.
Opened right up to it. Yeah, alright, I think that's the end of my spiel.
Hey,
yeah, so, what you been watching recently?
Not much.
Not much. In my unused podcast for Korean movies, I opened up, or actually I ended talking about Memoirs of a Geisha.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk about that briefly. That's a terrible movie.
Terrible.
It's awful.
Why?
Because they force upon the audience suspension of disbelief that is too much,
really?
Basically. They have non-English speaking actors speaking English, and it sounds so stupid. And it's like, it's not fair to me as an audience member when I'm sitting here and the chick is like, "Where is my sister?" I laugh, right? Because, you know, I'm whatever. If I did laugh, then it's like, "Oh, you're a racist prick."
Yeah.
Whatever.
Actually,
I'm just
you would have gotten away with it because you're a yellow man.
I'm not.
Oh,
remember what I told you?
I know. I forgot. You're totally white. You're a white suburban kid.
No,
I forgot.
Nope. That joke just totally lost all its punch. I can't do anything now. Thank you. Well, at least you can make the racist jokes. But I can't. And we're talking about Asian movies, too. God. You suck.
Alright.
Damn.
Well, it's not like this is live. You edit it.
That's true. Well, anyway, yeah, watch this get edited, totally. we're talking about the Vengeance Trilogy.
The Vengeance Trilogy.
These are really hardcore movies, but they're not like, you know, exploitative. They're not like, you know, Takashi Miike and all that, you know, kind of lame stuff people bring up when they talk about hardcore Asian cinema.
Right.
This is actually good.
It is. It's definitely a film that wouldn't be made here in the U.S., that's for sure.
Right. It's not something that, to quote Mr. Ebert, it's not a film that can be easily made in the United States any longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, Korea is kind of a fledgling industry. They've experienced a renaissance of sorts. And leading the forefront, I think, is this guy, Park Chan-wook.
Yeah. He's definitely at the top of the Korean film director's food chain.
Followed closely by Jung Boon-ho. I didn't say that right. But he's definitely at the top. He's definitely got a specific style. It's kind of a mix of, like, very traditional cinematography, but it's also kind of progressive. Progression by aggression, as I have so firmly stated previous, not on the podcast. But
yes.
Anyway.
In reference to Robert Rodriguez's Sin City.
Who is not being progressive lately.
Nope.
Machete!
I liked Machete. I enjoyed Machete. Good laugh.
But it was a total step back from Planet Terror.
Yeah. Oh, well. Everyone's...
Oh, well.
You can't keep moving up. Sometimes you gotta trip and fall and break your head and, you know,
and die.
And go to the hospital. Not everyone who breaks their head dies.
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is where this tale starts.
Right, in 2002.
It's 2002. This one stars Kang Ho Song. Like every other Korean film, with the exception of Old Boy, Kang Ho Song is, he is the face of Korean cinema.
Right. Good actor, actually. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Especially in this movie. I think this was his finest role to date. Co-starring is Ha Kyun Shin, that kind of goofy looking dude. He was the guy with the green hair, and his girlfriend Bae Doona.
Yep.
Pretty little China doll. Oh,
she's Korean, you fucking racist pig.
I'm not. I'm wearing the armor of same race.
Yeah. Which is actually far more racist than anything around.
Yeah, the assumption that I'm not being insensitive.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, if I was just... Yeah, the only difference between me and a white person is I spent a month in Korea. I am so far removed from my heritage, it's not even funny. Well, it is. Because at least I get to make the jokes. John Lee is disgusting. He's just got to take them.
I just think it's hilarious that you said I spent a month in Korea. Like, you could actually, like, write that down on your resume.
Yeah.
From day 1 to day 31 of my life,
yeah.
I was in Korea. How much of it do you remember? Not much.
None of it. Listen, I barely remember last year, right?
Oh, my God. That's just funny. Well, at least when other people make fun of your race, it is insensitive.
Right.
No one ever finds it white racism insensitive at all.
Yeah.
In the least.
I mean, maybe in other countries, but not here.
If you
say that you're being offended by being called, I don't know, a redneck, then you're just being dignified or something.
I don't know. Dignified. Basically, you could make a bunch of jokes about white people, and if you sound off for any reason, you're just seen as this douche, sounding off. Which I mean I understand, but it's still it's a huge double standard.
Well, it's just product of white man's guilt.
Yeah, I mean, what fucking white man's guilt? What is that like?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
I mean, come on.
You and your generation haven't done anything to perpetuate racism to that degree, to the degree that would create white man's guilt initially. So it really shouldn't exist. And the fact that it does exist only furthers the point that racism will never go away.
Right.
Because, you know, there is a such thing as accepted racism. That's part of it. Recognizing people as different. That's racist, but it's accepted. It's just a very natural thing. It's like animals. It's not going to go away because it's part of us. Anyway, Vengeance Trilogy. Damn. God, you take me off topic. You distracting motherfucker.
Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. Let's give a little backdrop.
All right.
I mean, who is the main character in this movie? Is it?
I would say Hakun Shin Ryu, the green hair guy. But really, it's Kang Ho Song's story. Just the way it's Lee Woo Jin's revenge story, but we follow around.
Daisu.
Yeah.
Right.
Lady Vengeance is Lady Vengeance. We'll get on that later. Ooh, we'll get on that later.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Oh, right now we got racism. In a couple of minutes, we'll be doing misogyny. You just wait.
All right. Okay. All right. So I guess the basic backdrop of this movie, without giving away too much, this is based on this guy Ryu. Is that his?
Ryu.
That's his. Ryu. Ryu. Whatever.
Ryu.
Yeah, they say him so quickly, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
The guy with the green hair.
Language.
You know,
green-haired
dude. Green-haired dude, you pick him out pretty quick.
Yeah.
You figure he's out pretty quick he's dumb. Also...
Deaf, I mean.
Yeah, he's deaf and dumb.
Right.
Which means he can't hear nor speak.
Nor speak. That's
okay.
A tough life.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty
Sex
tough.
Is complicated.
So how about you let me finish?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So,
I was thinking about that. Why don't you let me finish? Okay, so anyway.
I will let you finish in a moment.
But first, yeah. It's just one of those things where
messages.
I was trying to, I was trying to, like, explain what I was doing, not realizing that was furthering the problem. Oh, man.
Are you
Continue.
Done talking? Oh, well, you see, I was just trying to put your interrupt to my speech. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be that big an issue. It just had to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, you just gotta stop. You gotta stop.
If I have to be blunt, just shut the fuck up.
Oh, man.
This wasn't even my fucking podcast. So shut the fuck up for 2 minutes so I can talk about the fucking movie.
All right, talk about it.
All right, from the top. All right, so you got this guy, Ryu, doesn't matter really. Guy with the green-haired dude, I guess. He's a deaf and dumb man, and to make things even more difficult, his sister really, really, really needs a kidney transplant. Like, she's dying. Okay, and he would, you know, like the awesome brother he is, he would give up his kidney. Unfortunately, he's not a suitable donor, because, you know, it's not the same blood type. So he decides to contact the very well-known Korean, you know, black market organ place to get a kidney. And
they do it for him. They take his kidney out.
Right.
But all is not as it seems.
So that's sort of where the story gets interesting. They, you know, you know, they have sex, they kidnap, they torture. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy movie.
There it's pretty violent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always go back to that one scene where he's attacking. He's basically he's taking his revenge on the black market dudes for screwing him over so bad.
Yeah. Spoiler alert!
Down on that dead corpse. Oh yeah, whatever. Who cares? He kills the first couple of dudes, and he drags the body back from the first guy he killed, and he just starts wailing on him with the bat right in the head.
Yeah,
and the camera angle is just perfect.
Yeah, that was great cinematography. Actually, it's
oh yeah,
you know, it's like the most poetically violent thing I've ever seen on the screen.
Right,
incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Park Chan-wook had done a movie, three movies previous, but the one of note, of course, is JSA, and that was also similarly well done. But Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is like you said, very poetic.
Right.
In its
crazy
approach to violence. Yeah.
I think it's the most violent of the trio. I think it's the most disturbingly fucked up movie of the trio.
Yeah. This is something I mentioned on the Four Korean Movies podcast. You think that they get worse over time. I think they get less worse.
No.
Because is that better?
You think they get worse over time. I think they get less worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is definitely the most violent one. In terms of being disturbing, I think Lady Vengeance takes the cake.
Really?
And then that would just segue right into Thirst, which just gives me shivers just thinking about it.
No, I found Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance to be so fucked up. Old Boy was... I mean, I saw Old Boy first, and I loved it, but that was fucked up. Old Boy's fucked up. For those who have seen it, you know Old Boy's fucked up.
Man. But yeah, that's the thing.
Sympathy blew me away. And then Sympathy for Lady Vengeance was fucked up, but I mean, I don't know. I found it much more, I don't know, much more normal than the others.
Oh, yeah, normal. Well, I think what really rides me about it is the sexuality element, because they definitely increase in terms of disturbingly sexual.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's what really got me.
Yeah, I guess.
Because Sympathy is... Yeah, it's just Beiduna and Hakyun Shin.
Having an old sign boy language is, sex.
Yeah. Which
an
is
old
kind
boy,
of
it's
weird.
Incest.
The incest, which is horrible. Horrible. But Lady Vengeance was a sexual slavery, and that got under my skin. Something fierce. Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, alright, I guess we should move on to Old Boy.
Old Boy is... I think it's the best movie of the decade.
Awesome movie.
I mean, it's not my favorite of the decade. Well, it may be. I like JSA better, but it's definitely the best film that came out this decade.
Right. I could agree with that. Yeah. Cinematography-wise and score and acting, I mean, it's top-notch.
Yeah.
The whole movie from, you know, top-down is a great movie. I mean, the subject matter is, I mean, that might disturb some people, it might turn some people away, but I mean... You would have to at least give credit where it's due as far as the how well the film was made, because it is incredible.
Yeah, it's like A Clockwork Orange. I know how you feel about that one. But, you know, people who talk about that one, they're like, you know, you got to get over the rape.
It's nothing about Clockwork Orange bothered me. It wasn't like, oh, this is too much for me.
Clockwork Orange, you just thought it was bad.
I didn't like it because I didn't see what the point was. I mean, I've said this 100 times. I hate to trash a movie because it doesn't have a point. Because sometimes movies don't need to have a point. But like,
right.
Clockwork Orange really just should have had a fucking point. And it didn't.
It's like, do the right thing.
It's just like, why? Why did you even like write it? Like, why? What were you getting at? Like, because I mean, it's not that entertaining. It really isn't that entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, if a movie's not gonna have a point, it had better be entertaining.
Right.
And this really wasn't.
Yeah. Then you just become art film, which is not art.
No.
Contrary to popular belief.
It's exactly what it was. It was just, you know, it's like watching an indie that everyone talks about, and you're like, well, you know, this is kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to Old Boy. Yeah, Old great awesome. Movie.
Yeah. It's one of those movies that everybody can appreciate because it's got the action, it's got the violence, it's got the love. I don't know. It's a very whole movie.
Yeah, it's got something for everyone except the kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we like it.
we're fucked up.
True.
We're American teenagers that have been well desensitized to violence and incest by now.
Oh, dude, you gotta see Crank 2. Two parts of that movie made me physically sick. I was cringing. It was awful. All right, the first scene is a chick gets shot through the breast implants, and all this like shit starts coming out of her. Oh, it was so nasty. And then the second part, a guy cuts off his own nipples. It's awful. Oh, that movie is hilarious, though.
That happened on Aquatine Hunger Force, although that's a cartoon. Yeah, he cuts off his nipples.
Oh, hilarious. Oh, it was so gross. Oh, man. That movie is amazing, though. Anyway, Old Boy. What does Old Boy mean, the title?
Old Boy is... Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, all right.
I'm going to go a little bit more in-depth on this one, because I think it's worth it.
All right. Old Boy. Old Boy is a story about this guy. It starts off with this guy named Odaisu. And you see him, and he's really, really drunk. And, you know, he's like a... You can tell he's like... one of these guys that probably gets drunk all the time and he's never really home with his wife and kids or whatever.
He means well.
And so is... Yeah, I mean, he's a nice guy and everything, but he just, you know, can't handle the liquor.
Yeah, he's an alcoholic, you know? Yeah.
Well, like a lot of the, you know?
Yeah, can't hold their drinks. Fair enough.
So, you know, his friends gotta come help him all the time, but... He gets kidnapped and he gets locked away in a private prison. It's basically like a hotel...
Yeah.
Where you can't leave the room, and they just bring you the same food, fried dumplings.
Yuck.
So for 15 years, he's locked in this room watching television, eating fried dumplings.
Training. Yeah, that's a really cool sequence because he, you know, we follow his inner monologue, and he doesn't know, you know, when he's getting out, and it's an interesting part of the film.
Yeah, I thought it was actually interesting. I mentioned how if he had known it was going to be 15 years would have made it easier or harder.
Yeah.
I guess it would depend on what point you found out. I mean, if you were in there for 14, you found out it was 15, you'd just be like, oh. But I mean, if you were in there for a year or so and you found out it was 15, that might do some damage.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know.
Food for thought. Well, we got to try it out on ourselves.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the Milford Inn. What is our hotel called? We got a million of those. days in.
Anyways, so basically he's locked up, and then he does get out after 15 years.
He's released.
And yeah, he is released. He's sort of, he tries to escape, but then he's just released all of a sudden.
Yeah, and hypnotized, released.
So he's out there, and obviously, you know, he's consumed with the need for revenge and to find out why he was locked up and to get at the person who did it. So right.
He's become a hardened animal, and so you know we're expecting, you know, heads to go cracking.
Well, because I mean it's the only thing he has to live for now. Exactly. I mean, when someone steals 15 years of your life,
are you dead, know? And he killed them. That's what the right. TV says. So yeah, he's got nothing.
So he's basically got a, you know, his life is done. So he's just got a, he's got one objective, and that's to find the guy who did it and kill him.
Yeah.
And really find out why, I guess. So yeah. When he does find the guy, I guess
he takes a bit of investigative research, helped along by a little girl, Mido, who right. is of ambiguous age. And that was direct. So she helps him out for some reason. She doesn't know why. He doesn't know why. But whatever. They're a team now. They're investigating restaurants, getting into fights in the hallways. And eventually right. that
he
leads
does,
them
He does some serious damage along the way.
Oh, yeah.
He finds out what he needs to find out.
He rips those guys up. And then he finds Li Wu Jin and the white-haired dude, who is awesome.
Right, in the penthouse suite. Right. Eventually, he tracks them down. He finds out who they are and everything, and he finds out why. He finds out the reason why.
Yeah, it's a great reveal. And, actually, it's not because it scarred me. That was awful.
I mean, I was told initially that there was a shocking twist in this movie.
Yeah,
and when I saw it.
You thought that the first one.
I thought that was the twist. So yeah. I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
I remember for the rest of the movie thinking, I was like, you know, that twist wasn't that bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was going to be like a punch in the gut. And then you get the real punch in the gut.
Yeah.
That makes you feel sick. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah. Oh, man. You feel just like Choi Min Sik does at that moment.
Yeah, oh, you're almost there with him.
Yeah.
Except you can always remove yourself and be like,
yeah.
I didn't do it. He did.
I don't have to cut my tongue out.
Oh.
Why'd he do that?
Also,
Oh, yeah. I watched the end of Old Boy like last night rather than watch the Netflix movie I rented. I do that from time to time, you know, laziness.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good freaking movie. Yeah. Oh, God, I just love the scene in the elevator where he's reminiscing. He's pouring out a little liquor and reminiscing, and he shoots himself.
Ooh. That was great. That should have been the end for those who have seen
it.
Yeah,
it really should have. Because
I mean, when he shot himself, the real main character, Wu Jin, when he shot himself, and you see him slump over in the elevator.
Yeah, that was done so well. Edited shot. Oh, man.
Yeah, that,
perfect.
That was it. That should have been fade to black credits. Yeah,
a somber ending. Wasn't. Not ambiguous.
It's the only problem I have with this movie.
Yeah, and it's a big problem. It's valid. I think this was really spurred by when we went to go see Inception and it had the ambiguous ending.
Right, anyway. When it wasn't ambiguous at all. No, it was just a...
It's just like, come on.
I can tell you this is exactly what happened with Inception, right? They wrote the movie exactly the way it was supposed to be seen.
Right.
And then as they're doing it, they're like, yeah, so, you know, how are we gonna like, close this out?
Yeah, and the ending just wasn't good enough.
They're like, oh, so here's the scene. Oh, and how about this? We throw this in. We'll have it, you know, he'll spin the top like he always does.
Yeah.
And then he'll go to reunite with his kids, and then we'll, like, cut before it can fall over.
Yeah,
and that'll get everyone talking.
Yeah, but they didn't go back.
I guarantee
They didn't go I back and look at the screenplay. Happens. Yeah, you're right, but they didn't go back and look and say, well, maybe we can tie it back into the movie. It's like a separate part. It's so stupid, and it just ruined
it. I mean, I guarantee that's what happened. There's in no way, shape, or form Leo. Forgot his name. No, not Leo.
Michael Caine. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan, yeah. I just slipped my mind for a second. Christopher Nolan, I have no idea. I mean,
yeah, it was stupid.
I'm like 99.9% sure that an open-ended Inception was not his real intention,
right,
at all.
Yeah. And it's kind of like...
It was thrown in there. It was just like any other Hollywood producer would have thrown that in there.
Exactly.
Because they could, not because they should.
They should, right. What really gets me incensed about it is that it kind of throws in the face... It throws it in the face of that whole director as auteur theory. Because, you know, with the art... And we were talking about this a couple of days ago. Like, you know, interpretive art... Like, that's stupid. Like,
With Mr. Van Temple was bringing it up about music and how you see it. Like,
that's BS. Art is supposed to be directed from a vision.
It's a load of horseshit. I mean, it's one thing if you have a certain personal attachment with art, but don't ever let that get in the way of what the meaning of it is.
Yeah, like, I mean, I can't look at this water bottle and say it's art because it makes me feel a certain way. It's not art. It's a water bottle. When you're making a movie, you're supposed to make it with a specific intent, and maybe you leave it open-ended, but if you do, then you have to have a reason for it, and it has to play into the theme. Old Boy, just... What the hell? Like, what happened?
Old Boy should have closed out with the elevator shot, no doubt about it. Yeah. Everything else that came after that was stupid.
Yeah, the whole hypnotic suggestion thing probably could have got cut out of the movie. And I feel like
I don't know. Like, well, you couldn't cut that out because then you could never explain why he did what he did.
That's true. I don't know. It just bothers me.
I just don't like that. I mean, that ending almost reminds me of like, well, if this movie isn't good enough, maybe this ending will get them talking.
Right.
Which sucks because the movie was perfect.
Oh yeah, the way you gotta end a movie is like The Departed. Everybody's gotta die in elevators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't die in an elevator.
Yeah, he did.
He departed.
No, he didn't. Well, Leo did.
Leo did. That was in the ending.
That was the best part.
Just fucking kill me. Just fucking kill me.
I am killing you.
Oh man, that made me jump.
That was like a No Country for Old Men jump too. Kaboom!
Oh no, No Country for Old Men. That scene in No Country for Old Men where he gets
that was awesome.
Like T-boned by the car.
I hesitate to watch that movie again just because of that scene.
Yeah, that made me jump more than any scene I think in any movie I've seen in theaters.
Really?
And I'll admit I haven't seen a whole bunch of movies in theaters.
Right.
Especially the kind of movies that make you jump.
Hereafter didn't make you jump. It made me jump.
I wanted to jump right out of my seat and
jump through
into the parking lot and drive off.
Yeah, in my car.
That I didn't have at the time, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so, yeah, that definitely made me jump. No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's Old Boy. Came out in 2003, a year later.
Really awesome.
Yeah, it did really well at the Cannes Film Festival, 2004 Cannes Film Festival. It didn't win.
Which is unfortunate. I haven't seen Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 9/11 won, much to the protest of...
QT.
Personal favorite, Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, right.
Who really, really felt strongly that Old Boy should have won, and I agree with him on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know. So, it's just... Oh, yeah, and one last thing. The title Old Boy. Like, that plays into the whole the whole thing of the movie.
Their connection. They went to see the two characters we were talking about.
Woo-jin.
Odaisu and...
Odaisu.
Woo-jin. They went to the same school.
Right.
And they were... The school, like, they were known as the Old Boys.
Right.
Right? So that was their, like, connection.
Yeah. The whole thing is that they're connected in some way. And at some point in their lives, they stopped growing, and they essentially became old boys, you know? This is their story of their sort of extended childhood, doing really childish things, like taking revenge on each other and that sort of thing. So it's interesting on that level. And I didn't really pick up on it the first time I saw it. But it took me a while.
They both sort of wasted their life.
Oh, yeah. Just based on that one thing that could have...
Yeah. This one event that could have blown over so easily.
Yeah.
I mean, well, not blown over easily, but it could have...
People cope with death a little better. Instead,
yeah. Time could have healed it, but they it's just people just not letting things go, right. I guess.
Grudges. They
ended up in their own destruction, but...
Yeah.
I guess... Sympathy for Lady Vengeance.
Oh, man.
You know what's interesting about this is just now thinking about it, this movie did not show, I don't think, any of the negative effects of Vengeance, did it?
Well,
I mean, I'm pretty sure Sympathy and, I mean, Old Boy for sure, but I'm pretty sure Sympathy.
For Lady Vengeance?
I'm sure even Sympathy showed things that were like, this is, you know,
well, the whole point of
the best path.
Yeah, the whole point of Mr. Vengeance was that even if you take revenge, you still end up damned in the end, which is when Kang Ho Song gets killed by the terrorist group.
Right,
but Lady Vengeance is
sure
more of a it's a meditation on revenge. It's not praising it or damning it. It's more of an exercise in the philosophy of it, which is a good way to go out.
Very neutral.
Yeah,
about the whole ordeal.
I mean, the revenge in this movie kind of goes twofold because the main character, Ms. Gwemja, I think is the name. She takes revenge not only on Mr. Bake, of course, who was Odaisu, an old boy, but she also manages to take revenge on the society that judged her, because she forces them, or she sets them up to actually kill him, which is interesting.
Right.
So it's more of a study and less of a critique, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, this movie stars Lee Young-ae, my Korean queen. I've been waiting forever to say that. Oh, God. Yeah.
She is quite fine looking, I must say.
Very distracting.
Yeah, actually, it was very distracting. The whole movie, all you could think about really is doing her. But anyways...
Which is funny, because she's like fully clothed the entire time. She has a sex scene, but she's not naked.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she has a sex scene with this kid who's pretty young. I mean, it wasn't, like, young enough to be disturbing, but I guess young enough to just, to like, you know, make a kid our age just not happy with that kid, because he was
Yeah, well, we weren't happy with him.
No, I wanted to kill that kid. That kid was being a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that bitch on the spot. Anyways.
Oh, my God.
So, the backdrop of this movie... I must say, out of all the three movies, I had the hardest time following this one.
It's told very strangely. It's not linear in the beginning.
Yeah.
For the first half, well, for the first third, and then the second third is the plotting, and then the last third is something really weird. But in the beginning,
I just could not follow this.
Yeah.
At all.
It is kind of strange. It opens up with we're finding out that Ms. Le Gwemja is coming out of jail, much to the aplomb, that's not a word, of the preacher who was the white-haired dude in Old Boy. He's kind of funny in this movie, he's got long hair.
He looks like a goon.
Yeah, he does. He does. Oh, man. But eventually, you know, she kind of says, screw you, even though he was praying for her and stuff while she was in jail. And she goes out on her own quest to take revenge on the guy who got her in jail, sort of inadvertently. Or not inadvertently, but indirectly, because she was taking the rap for kidnap and murder.
That she didn't do, right?
Right. So, yep, that's the premise.
Well, basically, didn't he stole the kid, right?
Yeah, he...
Kidnapped her kid.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. That's why she's in Australia.
Right.
Yeah. So, that's... Yeah. Her little girl is Jenny. She was not a teenager in this movie. Shut up, Wikipedia. She was like 4. So she wants to rekindle the relationship with her daughter, even though she's in Australia, and she wants to take revenge on Mr. Bake. And that's it, this Lady of Vengeance. When I first heard about the Vengeance trilogy, it was kind of like, you know, Old Boy is the one you always hear about, because that's the most famous one.
And right. Now, probably the most well-made one.
Yeah.
I think so.
I still like Mr. Vengeance probably the best, but yeah, Old Boy, on a technical level, superior.
Right.
But, like, I was really attracted to this one, mostly just because it was a female in the lead, and a pretty one at that. So, yeah, but that's really, I don't know. It does play into the movie a lot. The director has even said that this is a much more feminine movie, and you can
right. It yeah, is.
It's
even in the prison scenes with the women.
Yeah,
and how they their relationship in the prison, very different from a male prison.
I would
too.
Say.
Although there is sort of forced sexual encounter in this one too, isn't there?
Terrible. The sex scenes in this movie were just driving me nuts. I mean, there's really only 3, and one of them is...
There are 3.
One of them you don't see, and unfortunately. Well, the only one you would want to, maybe. Oh, boy.
But the other 2 sex scenes are just pretty much sexual slavery scenes, aren't they? They're just sort
yeah.
of very submissive and domination.
Yeah, which is
really,
really messed up.
Fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, uncomfortable. but... That's okay. The one thing that really separates this movie from the earlier Chan Wook Park movies is the level of visual trickery that's going on. Like, you have the scene where she goes to Australia to pick up her daughter, and she's just hanging out on the tree. She looks up at the sky, and the clouds form, and they say, "You have no mother." Or whenever she's in the jail, she has the light around her head. And it's like all these things. It's kind of like the ants in Old Boy. You know, all these things make sense in context, and they're thematically right. appropriate, but I don't know, I think I just kind of tire of that kind of thing, which is weird, because I'm all for movies taking advantage of the audiovisual medium, like Crank, you know, the way they have those sort of graphics on the screen when they don't necessarily need to be there in reality.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, it just kind of bothers me, because it's just like, it's almost like the movie is taking itself less seriously. Or it just has this sort of attitude that is missing from Old Boy or Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. It's a little bit more like tongue-in-cheek, I would say. That's right. Not to say it's not serious, though, because it's very... When it gets bleak, it gets really hard-hitting towards the end.
I think you've just about said it all.
Yeah.
I think so.
So if you had to rank these movies... How would you do it?
Oh, easy. Old Boy, Sympathy, and then Lady Vengeance.
Yeah, I would go Sympathy, Old Boy, Lady Vengeance.
Not that I didn't like Lady Vengeance.
Oh, no, me neither. I love this movie. But that's the thing.
Yep.
And it's funny, because I went in...
They're all good.
I was really up for Lady Vengeance. I thought that was going to be my favorite. And so I had seen those two, Lady Vengeance and Old Boy. And the last one was Mr. Vengeance, and I was like, I don't even want to watch this, like... I mean, it doesn't have anything that I really want to see, right?
Right, but that was, right, right.
That was my favorite of the 3. So, in the end, check them all out regardless of what they have on the surface. Because you could be surprised.
They're actually, interestingly enough, I mean, you watch these movies, and the movies themselves are so hard-hitting and engrossing. You would never realize it, but... I mean, these movies are not that long. Old Boy is exactly 2 hours. Sympathy is the longest at 2 hours and 9 minutes. And then Lady Vengeance is only 112 minutes long. I mean, these movies are... I mean, by today's standards, these movies are pretty, pretty short. They're not long for movies that really drag you in.
Yeah, they're just very dense.
I remember after Old Boy, I thought I had just gone through a three-hour...
Well, you were also on a plane, anyway.
You were out of the country. Even still, it's still so engrossing and, like, time really seems to go by very slow with these movies.
That's just the effect. I mean, they're very, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, at the end of Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, I was, like, sweating. I mean, it was...
Yeah, like, you do so much thinking and reflecting on the whole movie. By the time it's done, you're like, oh, my God. It's more of an experience than just watching a movie.
Definitely. Which is what movies... I mean, this is why movies are made.
Oh, that's you know you've made it when your movie actually puts someone through something instead of happening, instead of scenes just happening in front of someone, when they're actually almost in them and they experience them and they experience the emotions that the characters experience. That's when you know you've created something really, really good, and that goes back to the whole interpretation of. Art thing, you know.
Exactly.
That's why it's bullshit.
It's so weird, because it was very direct with Lady Vengeance and Mr. Vengeance. You know, he had something he needed to say with both of those, and he did, but
right.
I just don't get on.
But it's such a cop-out. Like, I could draw anything, right? I could draw anything random.
Yeah, that's not...
And say, it's up to your interpretation.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
And that's silly, because everyone has an interpretation of something.
Right.
Everyone looks at something a little different. Like, I mean, it's like the Rorschach test or something. Those ink blots.
Exactly.
Everyone looks at something with some sort of interpretation, and of course, it's going to be based on what they know, because that's all they know.
But it's like, if you do that, and if you make something just for the interpretation of other people, what have you made?
You haven't made anything more than an ink blot.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned,
that's a good way to put it. I think the best way to do multiple interpretations is the Adrian Lyne movie Jacob's Ladder. Which is one of my favorite horror movies. But, I mean, you can interpret it many ways, but in the end, it's always going to be back to the same thing. It's always going to be a pursuit of coming to grips with death.
The same, yes. It accomplishes the same... Yeah. No matter, all roads lead to Rome, as far as that movie's concerned.
So Jacob's Ladder and The Fountain, I'd say. But otherwise, like, I don't know, like, Inception and Old Boy, it's like, at the very end, they just switch it up, and it's kind of nonsensical.
Right. All right.
Going out on an angry note, I guess. Even though we like these movies, that's just the way we do it here.
We're just so goddamn aggressive.
Yeah, I think we're just hard to please.
We're film snobs, film elitists to be sure.
I don't want to be that guy. I always reason with myself that I'm
too late.
No, I'm a film elitist, but only when it comes to trash.
That makes perfect sense.
I look down on the modern-day action movie, basically.
As you should.
Yeah, that's also true. But I'm not going to praise to the high heavens the cinematic, the technicality of the Citizen Kane, because it's already been done before, and I'm not that passionate about that movie. Once Upon a Time in the West, on the other hand, I could have a day-long conversation about that one. But anyway...
It's too bad you have no one to have
exactly.
it with.
Yeah, that's another thing we won't get to do in the near future is the Greatest Movie Ever podcast.
I could go on for hours about how Godfather Part 2 is by far the best movie ever produced.
But I haven't seen it.
Who am I gonna tell it to?
Well, more people than I can.
That's true, but I mean...
Still.
I still need a reasonable IQ level to converse with.
That's funny. Well,
don't forget, I'm a film elitist.
Right. Well, this is a good place to start. Foreign film. People respect that. And there's nothing more foreign than Asia. Because, I mean, what else is there? Europe. Years and years of that rough life. Running
running crazy wild as a kid and growing tough with a knife and living tripe from the regular, walking out competitors. See a figure moving, chisel down like a fucking predator. Getting trouble every day in school, act a fool, and you know I had to break every rule. Showing off with the bitches cause I had the mad breath, so I had to watch my back when it was time to step. But my crime is the grimiest with love for me. Oh, pop, pop, it's in a sucker up above for me. And yo, currency kept passing me by, but I didn't cry. Bro got hit off of the pack and started selling coke, and now the money's looking lovely. Hop the drop top and now the bitches wanna rub me. Kicking the game, it's all the same, I kick it back, yo. Give them slack, yo, and now they label me the Mac, yo. People check it, get disrespected if you front on the bird, man. You heard, man, catch a couple shots from the Glock in my hand. Damn, at least I'm realistic with my biscuit. You know you get your ass twisted, so run for cover. Me and my man got a plan, kicking major dust. So if you own, nigga, look for the gauge to bust. A lot of pressure with the street fame. It's a deep game, and my mama always crying, yo, there's so much pain. They got me mobbing like I'm loped and ready to get my slug on. I load my clip and slip my motherfucking gloves on. I ain't scared to blast on these suckers if they test me. Trucks, I got my Glock, cop and player if they press me. Rock some motherfuckers with a passion, better fuckers. I ain't looking when I'm blasting them or nothing. Drinking in the sea and getting high on the lookout for my enemies. Don't wanna die, tell me why, cause the stress getting major. A buck 50 cross the face with my razor. What can I do but be a thug until I'm dead and gone? Keep my brain on the game and stay headstrong. These sorry bastards wanna kill me in my sleep. I'm really cannot see, and every day is just a struggle. Steady thugging on the streets and I be falling low. Don't let them make you worry. Keep swinging at these suckers till you worried. I was born and raised. Hell, a nigga from the gutter. Word to mother, I'm tough. I'm kicking dust up, ready to bust. I'm on the scene, steady mugging me. Until they kill me, I'll be living this life. I know you feel me, there's so much pain.
Stop recording. Okay. Someone who was doing like karate.
Whatever you want, man. I just said, man.
You just break it.
Break it, man. I thought you were the man. Man.
I don't know.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Take it easy.
Okay. Let's see if I can just do a hammer fist type thing.
Okay.
Alright.
Ready to play? Yes.
Okay. Ready?
Yep. Go on YouTube. Come on, man.
Did it make something?
Did it hurt?
Bent. It's bent. Yes!
I probably could have gone through on the first one, but I don't know.
Did it hurt?
I went up like, not really, no. It's a fleshy part, though. Yeah. Get another piece of wood.
I'm on.
You gotta get in a stance or something. You gotta prepare. Wow! It's like bending.
You're the insanest person I ever saw. No, no. Oh, you idiot. You gotta put it the opposite way. You gotta flip it over. Just throw it up in the air and punch it. That'll work, right? Oh, you idiot.
Oh, yeah, hey.
Oh, if only you fell over or something.
Hey!
Mr. Jones.
Would you mind if I paid you in gum?
That's me Trident Layers. Gum with layers of flavors. Of course you can pay me in gum.
I'd be crazy not to get paid in Trident Layers.
You are allowed to delicious strawberry with tasty citrus.
Mmm.
I love Trident Layers.
Yeah!
No one ever pays me in gum.
Aww. Layers and layers and layers of flavor. Introducing new Trident Layers.